the church one time. It changed our lives. And it continues to change our lives to the point where we're going to step on the edge of discomfort. Find a new place sharing the good news. So today, Jacob and I bring you the sermon together. We pray.
Loving God of creativity and blessings, and God who dwells with us in places of growth and sometimes discomfort. We love these opportunities. We love this church. And ask for your many blessings in this space, today and always. Amen. So as Phyllis and I were trying to figure out something spectacular to offer today, and Phyllis said, "Hey, have you ever co-preached?" And I had a moment of terror and said, "No." And because let me tell you, as I'm sure all of you can imagine, co-preaching with Phyllis is a little intimidating because she's
so true.
So we were talking about the mentor process and things, and she said, "Have you read this book, The Last Lecture?" And I hadn't heard of it, and she said, "Take a look for this book," and I devoured it in one day. I liked it so much that I asked my partner to drive me somewhere so that I could keep reading in the car. That's, now I'm a reader anyway, but that is, I can't recommend this book enough. So what it is this man named Randy Pausch who was given this amazing opportunity. He taught at Carnegie Mellon University, and his lecture, there's a lecture series every year, and the last lecture of each year is called The Last Lecture. And the people who are invited to preach, to speak, are supposed to imagine that this is the last lecture we'll ever give. Well, in that year at Carnegie Mellon, Randy found out that he had pancreatic cancer. One of the types of cancer that is, you know, the least likely to survive, and he's given somewhere between 3 and 6 months to live. So instead of crawling up in bed or sitting on the couch watching TV for these months, he decided that he would leave a legacy. And the legacy that he leaves is to his 3 children. And we are lucky bystanders in this. He didn't write this book for us, he didn't give a lecture for us, but he did leave a part of himself in order to bless the world. He did die not long after giving the lecture, but between the lecture and his death, he wrote this book. And really focuses on 3 things. Telling us his childhood dreams, what mattered to him, and how he achieved them. Then steps into the next phase, which is how do you help others achieve their dreams? And closes with lessons learned and how to pass on these lessons to his kids. In this way, he talks about the blessings of trust and his knowing that he would achieve his childhood dreams, which are wonderful things like being able to be weightless, and he gets to go up and in a plane that then drops really fast, so he has moments of weightlessness. And he also talks about brick walls and the importance of the things that stop us from getting where we want to go, the things that we have to conquer. He talks about sharing with other people's dreams, so it's not just about him. And most importantly, offering the blessing to other people.
Brick walls. Brick walls. One of the things that he says in this book about brick walls is that they're only there to show us how badly we want something. Have you ever had a brick wall that challenged your desires, what you longed for, what you wanted? Our scripture comes to us today from Psalms 84. The poetic expression of Psalms 84 comes to us from Nan Merrill's book, Praying for the Psalms. King David wrote many of the Psalms in our book of Psalms in the Hebrew Bible. A man who hit a number of brick walls, and interestingly enough, created many of them. Hello. How many of us actually create our own brick walls? Meticulously placed one brick after another, making sure the mortar is set in the perfect formation. And I get a witness.
Amen.
King David ran up against some of his brick walls, and they impacted his life. He recognized that he created some brick walls. He created a lack of trust with his people because of some of the bad decisions that he made. He recognized those decisions. He expressed regret. He had remorse. And he began to rebuild his relationship of trust. I love how this text opens itself. How glorious is your dwelling place, O loving creator of the universe. He found a place to dwell within the holy, sacred universe. Do you ever think about the sky as the cathedral ceiling? However far up it stretches, the walls as the trees. If we think about trees as walls, we have an immense house. Let's use our imagination. Something we often shelve when we reach the age of third grade. My soul longs, yes, aches for you, O God, my God. Have you ever found yourself in a place where your soul aches for God? Our challenge then is to step into the possibility of trusting that God aches for us. And then it happens. We experience this extreme epiphany, this warmth that flows over us, that wraps us, and now we know God loves us. And what's the first thing we want to do? We want to run down the aisle and share it with the world. Okay, well, maybe yours is a gentle walk. Maybe you're more of an introvert and you just want to kind of meander your way and say, God is amazing. Because we each do it in our own way, right? We each express the experience of God moving through us and the ways in which we are blessed, and out of that blessing have the opportunity to share with the world.
There's a moment where Randy, before he had his own children, he really showered his niece and nephew with love and affection, and really got to be in the wonderful place that I also get to be, of spoiling someone else's kids and sending them home. So, you know, as a bachelor in his 30s, he bought a convertible, a really nice, beautiful car, and he went to his sister's house to pick up the kids, and she came out with the kids and was kind of fussing at them and saying, now wipe off your feet and don't get your fingers sticky and don't mess up your uncle's car. Whatever you do. And all she was focused on in that moment was just don't ruin the car. And while she's talking, he takes a can of Coke and opens it and pours it on the back seat of his brand new Coke. And I love this image of him having this beloved possession, this new car, and showing the kids, I like you a lot more than this. The fun that we're going to have together this weekend is worth more than my car not getting dirty. And then it turns out that one of the kids gets sick and throws up in the car, and he felt so much better knowing that Uncle Randy had already christened the car. And there's something about that that is so amazing, because we get caught in the stuff. And yet, also, the stuff is what empowers us. It just depends on your definition. It's so easy to get caught up in the material and forget about the relationships. What matters most in this world, as the scripture says, is not the riches, but the dwelling place in love, the holding on to love. The day before Randy Couch got his test results, knowing that it was probably going to be bad news, he and his wife went to a water park and spent the day just having fun. As they were getting in the car, he said, "Whatever the doctor says tomorrow, in this moment, right here, I am so happy to be alive and to be with you." In this moment, no matter what happens tomorrow, I, Jacob, am so happy to be here with you. Yes. And I hope from the deepest place in my heart that you feel that way about the person sitting next to you and all the people sitting around you as we worship together.
David prays this prayer, closed with scripture. "Oh, eternal God, hear my prayer. Give ear, O divine comforter." We don't often think of God as O divine comforter. God's the rule keeper, the rule maker, and the rule enforcer. That's been our childhood tradition. That's the image of God we were fashioned and formed with. And yet David gives us the opportunity to stretch way beyond that and to think about God as a divine comforter. "Forgive what is unholy within me. Cleanse me of all my sins. Cleanse me of that which separates me from you, O God, which separates me from my neighbor, which even separates me from myself, from seeing myself as holy and beautiful." As a couple of weeks ago, I brought to you this poem from Marianne Williamson. "Forgive me, O God, forgive me when I fail to see myself as brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous. Forgive me when I fail to see you, who created me in your image, as brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous." How often do we ever think about God as gorgeous? Maybe in the movies. But really and truly, how often do we think about God as divine comforter? We are all meant to shine. As children shine, as God shines, we are all meant to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. And when we let the material stuff get in the way, we diminish who we are and whose we are in the wrath, in the grace, in the love of God. As we liberate us, ourselves, from our fear, our presence, our practice automatically liberates others. David says, "I would rather be a servant in your dwelling place than live among the riches of the world that does not shelter love." This week, Ross and I had the opportunity to deliver our school supplies. supplies. And if you bought some and haven't brought them in, we're still receiving them. If you haven't bought any and meant to, go do it. We're still receiving it. We took them this year. And I'm so excited about this relationship to Thomas Edison Elementary School on the other side of Nebraska, still in Seminole Heights. And we learned a lot about that school. We learned a lot about their intentions. We learned they're a D school. We learned about the desires for them to build trust in their students, to help their students learn how to share from a place of caring. They have a little bulletin board that highlights. It's so beautiful. I thought, what would it look like for us to have a bulletin board like this? They have a bulletin board with little eagle wings because that's their school mascot, eagle. They're the eagles soaring into a world that will change us. On this bulletin board, all the children that are absent that day in the class their names get put underneath the eagle's wings. Every class, if a child is missing, so that the class can remember who they are, their names, say their names out loud, and send them thoughts and well wishes. Can't go so far as to pray. But you know that there is just thinking of someone can definitely be our prayer, right? What would it mean for us as a church if you weren't here on a Sunday, we put your name on a bulletin board and remember that you weren't here? I know some of you are going, I don't want to be seen like that. Okay, so maybe that's not our solution. But it made me think about what it means when you're not here. And what we miss in the gifts that you bring. Many people don't think about their presence being here as missed. And yet, without you, we are different. Without you, we are different. David. Gives thanks and praise for the ways in which God invites us, each and every one of us, to partake at the banquet table. Every week we have a banquet table. Every week we celebrate the love Jesus came to teach us in offering himself. The greatest gift of love. Open to anyone who is hungry to be wrapped. Today, Jacob and I bring you an opportunity to survey the walls that are before you. Who really cares how they got there? Can I get a witness?
Amen.
What do you want that's beyond me? Do you want it bad enough to get it out of the way? You know, oftentimes our walls are really only about 5 feet wide. They might be 100 feet tall, but all we have to do is have enough courage to walk around them. We don't even need a sledgehammer. Now, for those of you who are into that, go for it. The opportunity to dwell in the shelter of God's unconditional love is available to every person on the planet. You don't have to fit a certain criteria. Just open yourself up. Come well. you dwell in the arms of the divine comfort. Will you pray this? God of grace, of love, I give you thanks and praise for the mysterious ways you work in our lives, for the mysterious way you worked in Jacob Hero's life 8 years ago to grant him the courage to step into the doors of another church and trust that there's a message of God's love waiting for him. We thank you, God, for the mysterious ways you've worked in each of our lives to grant us the holy boldness to step into these doors and for the ways in which your love has wrapped us. How lovely is your dwelling place. May we continue.